Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service. Great to have you all with us today. Let's begin by standing and turning to hymn number 681. We praise you that you are accomplishing your purposes in each of our lives. You make all things beautiful in your time. Father, sometimes it's hard to wait. It's hard to wait on you and to see what you are doing or to fully understand what's happening. But Father, in those times, help us to remember Calvary, the cross where Jesus died, where he was buried and rose again on the third day, to remember your love for us, your mercy and your grace and your awesome plan. You have a purpose for all things, and we pray that we would find peace in that, even when the times are tough. And we thank you for your church that you have planted here and around the world, of believers who know you, who are following you, who are born again by the Spirit of God, and seeking your face. We pray that you would bless all of us around the world as we are gathered again on this Lord's Day. And we pray for us here, that you would bless this hour together. You know each heart. You know the needs that are represented here today. We pray that our joys and our trials and our sorrows that we might be bearing here today, that we can bring them all before you and before each other for encouragement, for strengthening, for comfort, for wisdom, as we seek to follow you more closely and fulfill your call on us. Father, thank you for Pastor and for his ministry here today as he brings the word. We pray that you would fill him with your Spirit, give him the words to share on the passage today that he'll be looking at with us. We pray that our hearts will be open soil ready, good soil, ready to receive the word firmly planted, and that it will bear rich fruit in each of our lives. Father, we commit the hour to you. Pray for all to be done to your glory and honor, guided by your Holy Spirit and empowered by him. We pray that we will leave here saved, changed people, that we will leave here having drawn closer to you and closer to one another. And Father, if there's anyone here today who does not yet know Jesus as their Savior, we pray that they'll put their trust in him before they leave and be on their way to heaven. And we give you thanks for all these things and commit this hour to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue in our worship by turning to hymn number 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 575.
Let's see what we have here. I think, first of all, we have a couple of birthdays. Paul, you're having a birthday? And Sylvia's having a birthday this week, I think, right? Is that right? Was there anyone else? How many more we got? Let's all stand and we'll sing Happy Birthday. All right. Happy much. All right. Yeah. Rick keeps a count, you know. He's got it all down pat, and he knows exactly when everybody's having one. So anyway, he reminded me of that this morning. All right. Let's see what we have coming up. Tonight, we have an evening service at 6 o'clock, as usual, in 1 Corinthians, right? Yeah. And Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday, regular services. We have the missionary offering, so don't forget that. We want to continue to support our missionaries. And then Sunday evening, 6 p.m. special. Okay, this is a look back slideshow presentation, and you can share your memories, the old timers. If you're willing to admit that, you can share some of your memories with the newer ones that have come along. So let's try to come out next Sunday evening and enjoy the presentation and learn some things probably that you don't know, okay, or you don't remember. Anyhow, let's see. We are going to have the homeowners meeting here on September 13th, the people across the street over there are going to use the downstairs room. So keep that in mind. And then the picnic on the 24th of September. You know, September's almost here. We're just about done. Next week's the last week in August. And with school starting back and all of that, all these exciting things that's going to be happening. All right, I got a note from Carl and Gladys Volts. They both have COVID, and he has a strep throat. So pray for them, if you would. And also, we heard from about Roy Todd, and he was in the hospital for a while, but now he's back out and doing better. Tom Nichols had good report with his numbers for his ailment. And I see. Peggy's doing better.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I got everybody. Oh, yeah, Jim. Yeah, Jim Moyer. We don't want to forget him. Continue to pray for Jim and his time at home. Okay. What else was I going to say? I guess that's... Oh, Denny. Denny reminded me. Let me just tell everybody. We did get the three chimneys inspected and everything, and everything is great. They only charged us for two of them, and we did pay the taxes on the property, right? So now we have to replenish the fund. So anyhow, keep all that in mind and see if we can't keep going, you know, day by day, and with each passing moment. Is that what it says? Just keep on keeping on for the Lord. All right. I believe that's it. We're going to be looking this morning again in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And thinking about our priorities. What are your priorities? Jesus had something to say about that here. And beginning in verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you that we can come together on this Lord's Day into your house to worship you. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us would be drawn closer to you. We might be encouraged and strengthened and blessed. And all the blessings that you give upon us each day, we just thank you and praise you. We do pray, our Father, for those who are going through difficult times right now. We know some are ill. We ask you to undertake for them in a very special way. We pray that you'll be with each one and strengthen them and help them and have your precious way in every heart and life. We pray for those, dear Lord, who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. I just ask you to undertake for them and comfort their hearts as well. And guide us and lead us in all that we do and pray here. We just ask you, Lord, to show us the way. Give us the wisdom and understanding that we need to accomplish your will. Lord, we just pray for each one who is here today that we might truly look to you for our needs and not worry and fret about the things that happen in life. Lord, it's so hard sometimes not to worry. We need to put our faith and trust in you and know that you take care of all of the little animals, the birds, and everything else, and certainly you will take care of us. So may we realize that and truly put our faith and confidence in you. We thank you for the salvation you've given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know that we have a home in heaven and that someday we'll go and be with you and with all of the people who have gone before. So, Lord, we just ask you to help us. We do pray for anyone today who may not yet know you as their Lord and Savior, that they might just call upon your name, Lord Jesus, that they might just come to you and put their faith and confidence in you today. May your holy will be done. Lead us and guide us and help us. We pray for our country today, dear Lord. We just ask you to help us. We know that there's much sin in the land, and we just pray that we as your people would seek to help in any way we can to draw people to Christ. And we thank you that your Spirit is working to bring people to Christ. And we pray that you would truly lead us and help us. And may we do our very best to serve you, we pray. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Lead us and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to hear the word preached, let's stand together and sing hymn number 773, He the Pearly Gates Will Open, 773.
All right, let's turn once again to Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing to look, as I said, at the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus clearly presents the way he would have his disciples to live. And he presents a series of choices here that we can consider and hopefully make the right choices. We find, first of all, as he begins here, he's talking about treasure. You know, the two choices of treasure. What kind of treasure are we going to have? Notice in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's one type. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Okay, so it's very temporary. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, earthly treasure. It'll only be here for a while, right? And there's so many possibilities of losing it. The stock market, if you play that, it could go down, right? Or the banks could fail. It's happened before, right? Now, I'm not trying to discourage you this morning, but anyway, don't put all of your treasure here on earth. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with saving. You know, the Lord tells us we give him his part, and we have a certain part for our necessities and for things for the future. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't believe. But what he's saying is don't let that be your treasure, right? I think that's the key here, where it says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your heart is on your earthly treasure, you're in bad shape, right? It may not endure. It will not actually endure. And there's so many things that could happen here. He says the thieves could steal it, and the moss and rust can corrupt it. All of these things, whatever it is. Now, the earthly treasure in that day included money, of course, gold, and then clothing, and a position of power, okay? This would be the treasure, I think, of the people in that day, but it'll only last for a while. It's subject to destruction. Clothing can be destroyed by the moths. I think the ladies probably know that, right? You have to be careful putting things in your closet and what's going to happen to this clothing. It lasts for a while, but it can be destroyed. Metals, subject to rust, as it mentions here. You have to be careful to keep that in a safe place. And then the story of Jesus told. You remember the rich farmer? This is in Luke chapter 12. Let's look at that for a minute. Luke chapter 12. And I think this is a familiar story, but I just want to be sure we get it right. Luke chapter 12. and verse 16. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And he goes on about the birds. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. This passage is very similar to the one in Matthew. If then God so clothed the grass, excuse me, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all, after all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So as I say, it's a parallel passage here in Luke, and we have this parable here of this rich farmer. What should he have done? What do you think? His barns were filled to the top, and he had no need of anything. What should he have done? He should have given it away. That's exactly right. That's it. Instead, he was only thinking of himself, his needs, you see. He had no concern for anyone else. I'm sure there were plenty of people around that could have used his assistance. And it would have solved his problem. He wouldn't have had to tear down his barns, right? He had plenty. And yet, he was selfish and wanted his treasure on earth. Obviously, he did not have a treasure in heaven. This is his problem. God called him, what, a fool, didn't he? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? All the riches that you have are going to pass away, right? And we need to make sure, first of all, that we are in a right relationship with God. This man obviously was not. He only thought of himself and his riches and what he could do. He had no concern for what God thought of his life And yet suddenly, God says, that's it. Okay? You won't have to worry about this anymore. This is going to be over, right? There you can, someone else will take your treasure and make it his. Right? So that's the earthly treasure and how temporary it is. It only lasts for a while. And so we need not accumulate a great deal. And now he says then, heavenly treasure. What is heavenly treasure? In contrast to earthly treasure, it is eternal. Once you get a heavenly treasure, you've got it forever. Whatever we invest in promoting God's kingdom will endure forever, right? Whatever we take seriously and seek to help spread the good news of the gospel and win people to Christ on the mission field or here at home or wherever we are, that kind of treasure will endure, right? And we can enjoy that throughout eternity, investing in God's kingdom. As someone has said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead, right? And we believe that we have an obligation, don't we, as Christians? We do. We have an obligation to other people to help them in their time of need, to support the work of the Lord. And so we can send it on ahead, right? And rejoice in that. Jesus said in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, where is our heart? What do we really love? What are we most concerned about? You know, we have to live here on earth, okay? I understand that. And, you know, we all like to have the 3 meals a day, at least. Maybe some snacks on the side, too. I don't know. But anyway, and then to have a nice place to live and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. And but where is your treasure? Where is your heart? It should be in the work of the Lord, shouldn't it? I think we all agree with that. Here we are as believers. We know that the most important thing in the world is to see people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior and live for Him. And for us to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So we have these two choices. Treasure. What choice will we make? Is it going to be an earthly treasure that is temporary, or a heavenly treasure that lasts for eternity? Okay, that's one. The second thing he says here is there's two visions. Verse 22 talks about the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body, right? And if you have good eyesight, you can see clearly. Everything is nice and bright and light. But if your eyes go bad, then you only have darkness, right? As you can't see well. And the two visions, single eye, and when he says single, he doesn't mean you only have one. But anyway, you have a single vision. You are looking at things in this way. The light of the body is the eye. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Okay? But if your eye is bad, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So what is our vision? What vision do we have? Are we looking at things from God's standpoint and realizing that the most important things are what God wants us to do, yielding ourselves to Him and having the vision? You know, it says in one place, where there is no vision, people perish, right? You have to have a vision. You have to be able to see something that's going to happen. A goal, if you will. An aim, you know. It says, someone said that if you don't aim at something, you'll miss it every time, right? Or you'll hit it every time, whatever, however that goes. Anyway, Jesus said, you need to have a clear vision. Make sure that your spiritual eyes are open, right? And that you can see what God's plan is and put that into practice in your life, see? Rather than just wander about in the darkness, wondering what to do. Okay. The next thing he talks about is a choice between two masters. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Now here I believe what he's talking about is like a slave, right? No slave can serve two masters at the same time, right? You got one ass telling you to do one thing and another one telling you to do something else. There's no way you can manage, right? And so he says here, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will despise the one and serve the other one. You cannot serve who? God and mammon. God. Here, let's look at Mark 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. Mark 12, 29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Okay. So love the Lord thy God. He is the one who is the master. Right? He's the one that we can serve and know that he will hear and answer our prayers and help us along the way in doing what is right and good. So we should love him, right? He's the master that we love. He's the only one that we need. We need to have him as a master. The other one is mammon. You know what mammon is? Well, I have some notes here from Dr. Barclay. He talks about this. Mammon was a Hebrew word for material possessions. Originally, it was not a bad word at all. The rabbi said, "Let the mammon of thy neighbor be as dear to thee as thine own." Okay? That is to say, a man should regard his neighbor's material possessions as being as holy as his own. But the word mammon had a more curious and most revealing history. It comes from a root which means to entrust. And mammon was that which a man entrusted to a banker or to a safe deposit of some kind. Mammon was the wealth which a man entrusted to someone to keep safe for him. But as the years went on, mammon came to mean not that which is entrusted, but that in which a man puts his trust. The end of the process was that mammon came to be spelled with a capital M and came to be regarded as nothing less than a god. See? So you have the contrast here between Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, and mammon, the material blessings that you've accumulated and that you're trusting in, like the rich farmer who was looking only to his own resources rather than to God. And here he says, we have to make a choice. You know, the scripture tells us in another place, the love of money is the root of all evil, or a root of all evils. Anyway, it's bad, you know, to love money. We know people like that, don't we? There's none here, I'm sure, you know, but we know people like that. And to love money, that's their main thing in life, and certainly it's not a good thing. Now today I actually copied this out of my new printer, 1 Timothy 6:9-11. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. See, we should follow after the things that God emphasizes, those things which are beneficial for us, rather than following after the material things of this world that are only going to last for a short time. Money, of course, is not evil, you know. It's necessary as a medium of exchange. But money is a cruel taskmaster if we become a slave to it, you know. And we have the rich young ruler, another illustration of this, you remember? He came to Jesus and said, Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, go sell everything you've got and, you know, give it to the poor and come follow me. And he went away sad because he had great riches, you see. And Jesus was testing him, of course. That's not the way of being saved, of course. We know that. But he was just, he realized that this man's God was his money. And so he told him to leave it and come and follow him. He refused because he did not want to leave his God, material wealth. Okay, the last one here is the choice of two ways of living. Beginning verse 25. We see here there's two different ways that we can live our lives. One, he says, take no thought for your life. Oh, just forget about it, you know, just don't think about it. No, that's not what he means. He means don't let that, you know, worry you. It's a matter of trusting in God or in worrying and fretting through life. That's what he's talking about here. He says, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to put on. These seem to be the preoccupations of the people of that day. And I dare say this probably is still true today, isn't it? What are we going to do with our life? And he goes on and gives the illustration about the birds of the air. They don't have to do any work except, you know, build their nest, and they get their food. They don't have to worry and fret about it. He says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. See? He provides for them. And did you notice this question at the end of that verse 26? Now, I know we are all animal lovers, and we are all bird lovers, right? Yes. Yes, we are. But he says, are you not much better than they? Yeah. You know, some people devote their whole life to protecting one particular kind of a protozoa or something like that nature, you know. And yet, they have no regard for people, you know. And that's this thing about, you know, save the whales but kill the babies. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Save the whales and save the babies. That's the way it should be, right?
Right.
Okay. But anyway, I don't want anybody getting mad at me now, but at any rate, I just noticed that question here that Jesus had asked. Are you not much better than they? You know, God has a high regard for people. That's the reason He sent Jesus into this world to die for us, that we might be saved, that we might have everlasting life. You know, people are different. People are special. God made us in His image. We belong to Him, and we should belong to Him, but we have to put our faith and trust in Him. So here we find there's take no thought. This is makes anxiety and worrying. In anxiety, you depend upon yourself and your own resources. How far is that going to get you? Trusting in God, putting Him first, we have everything we need, right? We just leave it in His hands. I like this saying. I know it's an old one, but Vance Havner says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Yeah? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Here we are, and we don't get anywhere with that. The only thing worrying is good for is making one sick. That's all it'll do. You can worry yourself to death. And yet we should not worry. It accomplishes nothing. Notice verse 33. This is the key verse to this portion. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See? He says, I'll take care of you. Just follow me. Jesus said, follow me. Come, and I will give you rest. I'll take care of your basic needs and help you. Put God first in your life, and everything else will fall into place. That's what it's all about. He cares for the birds. He covers the fields with beautiful flowers. Now, I was reading about this. Said these flowers only bloom for a day. Can you believe that? One day, these flowers are beautiful out there on the field, just the whole field full of flowers, and the next day, they're all gone. They wither and go away that quick. And people, I said that they had their little clay ovens that they fixed, you know. This is the way they fixed their meals. They're made out of clay. And they would take the leftover flowers and throw them in the oven and set it on fire, and that's the way they cooked their meals. So that was, you know, that's all the good that the flowers are for. Very short time. But yet God provides all that for the beauty all around us. It may not last very long, but it's there to encourage and help us. And He will surely care for them who put their trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He'll direct your paths, right? And put you in the way that you should be. So we trust and honor Him. So, we find in this passage that Jesus is teaching, first of all, He asks some questions. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Who is your master? Where is your faith? In God or in yourself or in something else? Are you walking by faith or in fear? Fear is a terrible thing, isn't it? You know? If you're afraid of something, you know? It can render you useless. But by faith we walk. Have you committed yourself, body, soul, and spirit, to Christ? Or are you trying to make it on your own? That's a good question. The choice is yours and mine. As Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is, so he says, make the right choice. This is the whole point Jesus is making here in this sermon, this lesson. that we might make the right choice and follow him. And I hope each and every one of us are doing that, and that we will look to him for the daily strength that we need and follow in the way that he would lead us. Lord, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today, and pray that you'll help us day by day to continue to make the right choice and not to follow anything else except your will and your purpose. We do pray for each and every person who is here today that our hearts might be drawn closer to you, and that each one of us would truly have full fellowship with you day by day.